Vinyl is back, baby. And if you don't want to miss the boat on all things vinyl, then you should jump right over to Still Spinning. That's STILL, Still Spinning on YouTube. It's Kevin Carpenter's wonderful channel where he has video after video on all things vinyl. So Kevin also has a Facebook page at facebook.com/stillspinning3, that's the number 3, where you can continue the conversation. So if you want that new turntable, if you're after the Beatles White Album, or you don't know what vinyl is all about, just jump over to Still Spinning on YouTube and hook up with Kevin Carpenter. And we thank Kevin and Still Spinning for supporting Tech Webcast.
I need a website, son.
What, Pop?
I need a website.
Well, if you're like Pop and you need a website, why not get on the internet and type furiousmarketing.com.au. They build all types of websites and can also help you with marketing your website. Furious Marketing can also be found on Facebook at Furious Marketing. So for all things website and marketing, you should be following furiousmarketing.com.au.
Is they furious at me, son?
Shh, no. That's their name, and the ad's over.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tech Webcast. Please like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. Thank you.
A beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely, principally. Roll program initiated.
Welcome to the Tech Webcast Podcast, episode 437, recorded on the 22nd of July 2017. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iOS or Android app. You can support Tech Webcast at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Jacob, and myself, Daryl. And our very special guest is Vincent Jones. Vincent Brown. I was trying not to cough in the middle of that, as you could hear it. And I looked away to have a cough, and I thought, I'll know the name. And so I got Vincent Jones mixed up with Vincent Brown. So I think a musician mixed up with a. So apologies to Vincent Brown.
Jones, Brown, Smith, it's all the same.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's right. Intuitive.
That's it. Welcome to the podcast, mate. How's your week been?
It's been good.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a good week. Yeah.
Good job, Vincent, by the way.
Yes, it's been a good week.
Thank you.
Daryl, one of those
weeks. Yeah, no, it's been a good week. It's not too bad. I've got family coming out this time next week. They'll be already here from the States, so I'm looking forward to seeing my brother and sister-in-law and niece and nephew. Nice. I haven't seen them for three years, so it'll be nice to see them again. But yeah, it's just surviving the sort of frost after frost after frost here in the middle of winter and the northeast, but other than that, good.
I love it. Love the cold weather.
Oh, we'll come up here. You can get your fair share of cold weather up this way. It's really bitter.
Yes.
So,
Yes, indeed. I'm sure it is cold up there where you are, Daryl. We got Jacob back on. Welcome back to the podcast, Jacob. How's your week been, mate? Anything exciting happen?
Bad storms out here.
Okay, every week you say bad storms. Can something change?
Well, let me finish. A couple bad lightning strikes in the area. Ouch. Yeah, and other than that, it's been good. I've been just keeping up with the outside and everything, keeping it good and clean.
All right. Awesome, mate. We got Vincent Brown on. Welcome to the podcast. Vincent, good to have you back on the podcast, mate.
Oh, good to be here. Thanks.
It's been a long time since we last spoke.
It has been a while. I don't know what, over a year.
Yeah, a year, mate. Yeah. Yeah, yep. Good to have you on. Good to have you on, mate. How's your week been? Any exciting happen? Or I know a lot's been happening for you.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic week. We kicked it off, of course, with World Emoji Day on Monday.
Yes, awesome.
And awesome. Lots of fun and games there. I ran a couple of things on that day. As you know, we had the emoji music title, the song title, guess the song title, where I just pushed out a bunch of tweets with emoji song titles, and it was up to the audience to guess what those songs were. And it was like heaps of fun. A lot of people jumped in and started creating their own song titles as well. So, yeah, I was surprised I could fit 99 red balloons by Nina in there, just with 99 red balloon emojis.
Wow.
So that was one example. Tough. But, it was a great day. And it's fourth year, I think. So that was, I found out it was invented by an Australian guy called Jeremy Burge, I think his name is. He's actually on the emoji board, or actually the Unicode Consortium, which is a board that governs what emojis are going to be accepted.
Awesome. Just a quick note, I'm just about to add Aldwyn into the podcast.
There you go.
She's one of the new co-hosts here. And I'm just going to add her in right now. And also, you're launching a new service, is that correct, to do with emojis? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I did a bit of a soft launch on Monday on World Emoji Day, just to coincide, and it's up and running, and I have already taken on one client, so it's pretty exciting. And it's basically, in a nutshell, it's an extension of your keyword process. So most businesses have a mission statement from which they then derive their keywords, and then you do some keyword research. It's a standard thing for businesses, you know, to do your keyword research so that you can find out what keywords people are using, prospective clients of yours, to find your business. And so that's, you know, a very important part of any business research and marketing, is to get those keyword sets down, to get the most optimum keywords. Ideally, you want a keyword that's used very often, but there's not a lot of competition for it. And so every internet marketer knows all about that. And so this is built on top of that. It's sort of like, on top of that actually is hashtag research, because you need to understand how your hashtags relate to your keywords. And then on top of that is this emoji set. I call them emoji sets for businesses. And so part of the service, this is a product that I'm selling as a service, you'll be able to have your own set of emojis that are very specific and particular to your brand. And this is a very important thing to do in this day and age of social media marketing, because emojis are everywhere. So,
yeah, definitely. You actually gave me a good tip, I think it was last night or the night before, Vincent, about my tech webcast Twitter. You suggested to use the globe with the strain and the microphone that represents the podcast, the tech webcast.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a good example. And maybe if we could just stick to using tech webcast as an example throughout this podcast today, it'd be easier for you to understand and identify with it, you know, because Tech Webcast has as their logo the world with one of those podcasting microphones, the old-fashioned, very stylish microphones next to it. And that's actually world known around the world as the symbol or the emoji for podcasting. You'll see a lot of podcasters are actually using that emoji. So you had the foresight or the just serendipity, I suppose, to have that in your logo. You know, so you've got the globe and the microphone. You've got the – sometimes people don't realize this, but they're actually three different – they're called Earth emojis, one for Asia, one for Africa, and one for Australia Europe, sorry. And we are in the Asian one. So it's very important that you choose that one. And it just so happens that the Australia or the Asia-Australia Earth emoji looks very much like your logo. So the two combined make it – yeah, it makes a perfect emoji logo for your tech webcast.
Awesome. All right, let's go to Audwin just real quick. Vincent, just sure. Welcome to the podcast. Well, welcome to the podcast, Audwin. Good to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Greetings from Turkey. It is 5 a.m. over here, and it's great to be on.
You are keen. You are keen. That's all I want to say. I love it. Thanks, Audwin, for being on the
podcast
each week. That is dedication. Thank you.
Yeah, look, it's great to be on, and this is a great topic, emojis, because I've always thought it would be great to have little emojis for each of us on the podcast, actually, you know, representing each of our characters, the co-hosts. Mm. So we actually had a little play around in Skype. We were messaging little funny images to each other, but it would be great to have something that actually represents us. So that would be awesome.
Yeah, and the point is, to my service is that it's well researched and it's, you know, it's grounded in actual research rather than just sort of picking one on a whim. It's important, I think, to have a look around, you know, and I have a lot of tools, third party tools and tools that I've developed myself that can help you determine what is a good emoji that's suitable for you, because as you might know, some emojis have hidden meanings. Like, for example, everyone should know that there is a hidden meaning to the eggplant emoji. So you might not want to choose that as your personal identifier because it has a different meaning.
So what is that meaning? I'm actually not aware of the eggplant meaning. So what is that meaning?
Well, it's very often used for representing a penis.
It's very rarely
used to symbolize an eggplant.
Oh, how interesting. I would have thought a banana or something like that would have been used for that, not an eggplant. That's interesting.
Well, the other one is peach. The peach represents a butt or a bum, as we say here in Australia.
Right.
You know, so you might want to avoid using a peach to represent yourself because, you know, it has these connotations that, you know, are very well established in urban culture. And so, So you want to go and do a lot of research on your chosen emojis before you lock them in and say, yeah, that's the one that's going to represent me or my brand.
Right. Okay. So that process, then, you said you've got some tools for that. How long does that process take to actually go through and work out what is your ideal emoji?
Well, it's actually quite deep, and it all depends on how established the business is. Like I was saying before, I think before you arrived, was that most businesses have a mission statement, and most businesses also have already established their keywords through using other tools like Google's Keyword Planner and other tools to determine what their keywords are based on not what describes their business necessarily, but what keywords, more importantly, are the potential customers using to try and find your services. So if that's already been done, and most businesses have, but a lot of small businesses haven't. A lot of small businesses haven't even got a mission statement. So that then has to be built into the process, which makes it a little bit deeper and longer. But that's okay, because it's good to do it fully and have that all solidly documented and researched. Because, you know, it's vital for other areas of your business as well, not just using emojis. So if your business has already got all that set up, then it's simply then a matter of doing your hashtag research, And some businesses already have done that. So then, you know, makes the process of doing the emojis even easier and smaller. But as I said, a lot of businesses haven't done that. And, you know, there are a lot of online tools to help with hashtag research as well, like our good friend Saul. Remember Saul, Brad? Who established? Fleischman. That's him. He's runs a thing called Write Tag. And it's a good little tool that allows you to search and determine what hashtags are popular and in use at the moment, what hashtags are to be avoided because they're not, they're too highly competitive. It's like keyword research in that you want to grab a keyword that's being heavily used but is not there's not a lot of people competing for it. So in those terms, they talk about long tail keywords, which is really just using keyword phrases rather than individual single words. And this is also very similar to emojis and the service that I'm offering, where you go for long tail emojis. So instead of having one single emoji to represent your business, you have two or maybe three.
That's fine if you want an emoji for your business. What about if you do something around your personality? So, for example, each of us on Tech Webcast, we all have quite different personalities. So how would you research your personality or, you know, how you come across, I guess, for an emoji for a person?
It is for brands. So that can mm-hmm. include a personal brand as well. It's an emoji set. So it's not just one emoji or two emojis or a group of emojis that represent your business. It's your services. So you might have, you know, take for example, one of my clients, is the first client to take on this service is NBC Foods. And she's a small business, runs it herself. She's a caterer. She has some products as well. So, you know, there's quite a lot to her business. She has three different products. So we've established a set of emojis that describe each of her products, and as well as her catering service, and as well as her business. So there's a whole set of emojis that are used depending on what she's doing. If she's tweeting about selling her salt and pepper coating, she'll use the salt and pepper coating emoji, or it's two emojis together. Okay. So if you wanted to research your personal brand or your personal emoji to represent you, you would just write. It would be the same process. You would write down, you know, you dig deep and say, well, what are my likes? What are my interests? What is it that defines me as an individual that separates me from everyone else? And then you would go do some keyword research, do some hashtag research, go and grab a whole bunch of emojis that you think are appealing, and then whittle them down. It's that condensing of that brainstorming where you've grabbed, you know, every imaginable emoji that you think can relate to you. You might have 15, and then you want to whittle that right down to the two or three that you're going to use as a group. I call them composite emojis, where you've basically, like Tech Webcast, the earth and the microphone is like it's a composite, really, because you've created a logo out of two emojis here.
Great. And what about for those who have joined us that don't know what an emoji is? Now, most people should know, but if they don't, how do you describe what an emoji is?
Yeah, we did jump in the deep end there. Emojis, they're like little pictures. The beneficial thing, well, let's take a step back. They started with emoticons. Do any of us, we're a bit older here on the podcast, I think we all remember the emoticons where you would write :/, and you have to tilt your head on the side in order to see, oh, that's a smiley face.
Yes.
And there were a whole range of them. You know, you could do the other bracket, the closing bracket, the opening bracket, it would be a frowny face. And there's the shruggy shoulder one, and there's a whole bunch of the emoticons, and they eventually got turned into emojis, and they were heavily used in Japan on mobile platforms, which is interesting because Japanese itself is a language that contains ideograms, which is the word emoji is a Japanese word. It just means picture word. which is similarly what ideogram means. It's just a picture word. And Japanese itself is a very interesting language. I studied it for 5 years, so I have a good foundation in Japanese and in ancient Egyptian, actually, which is very similar. And Japanese has like a phonetic language combined with a symbolic language. So at the end of the word in Japanese, you have like an ideogram that is like an emoji. It expresses in picture form what the meaning of the word is. And that's why I think Japan were probably the first country to really take off with emojis. So they're really just little images that express emotions. And it's actually a coincidence that the word emoji is similar to the word emotion. There's absolutely no linguistic connection.
And moving images now are very popular, aren't they, rather than just stationary images, still images.
Well, yeah, animated GIFs, and there are those animated emojis on some platforms. But the thing you need to know about emojis is that it's universal. It anywhere that text can be typed, so can emojis. And in order for that to work across all the different platforms, there is a body called the Unicode Consortium, and they are the people that decide what emojis get accepted into the group of emojis, and then because they've got to be then described, designed across platform. Because you might have noticed the Twitter emojis are different to the Google emojis, they're different to the Apple emojis, and each company, Apple or Google, are individually making their own emojis based on this Unicode Consortium standard. So, for example, the Earth image, that's determined by the Unicode Consortium, but how that's going to be represented, whether it's a cartoony type image like Google one or whether it's a very three-dimensional type one like the Apple one, that's up to the individual companies. But I'd like to just extend that a little bit, that thought about Japanese and ideograms and ancient Egyptian, because that's where the Unicode actually, the Unicode Consortium was established before emojis came out, for writing things like Chinese and Japanese and these foreign alphabets into a worldwide platform. So that's how emojis then were able to be placed anywhere that text can be placed, because the Unicode Consortium accepted them as official characters.
Okay, interesting. That's really fascinating history. Well, I think personally a great emoji for Tech Webcast would be the globe with the mic and all four of us as emojis as well. There we go. That's my two, Bob Worth. What do the others think here on the podcast?
I agree. Alden, Jake, go ahead, mate. You had a question. Go ahead. Just jump in and ask. Daryl, you're next, mate. Go ahead. Jake, go ahead.
Yep. So with the emojis, I've been reading a lot. They've been using them in the porn industry now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What's this got to do with Vince service, Jacob?
No, it has to deal with emojis.
That's interesting. It's gone into the sex industry, whereas it's such a cute thing, right?
Yeah.
That's funny.
It is very funny. So, Vincent, what do you charge for your service, mate, for this new service that you put out?
Well, it's always different. And like I was saying before, if you've already got your mission statement, your keywords done, and even your hashtags done, it's going to be a lot cheaper. But if we have to do that, then it's going to be a little bit more expensive. It's really based on time, how much time it takes.
So is this a thing you do every day for a client, or is it every month, or is it just a one-off payment thing?
No, yeah, right. It's a good question. No, it's a one-off thing. It's once you've established your set, then it's up to you to go and use it however you wish. So you're just paying me once to establish these, and I work with you to do it.
Okay. Good stuff.
So, yeah, it's like I said, it's a bit of a deep process, but once it's established, it's set, and, you can use them. Yeah, so I just wanted to to come back to using your Tech Webcast one as an example, because, you know, we talk about Twitter, but there's also other platforms and how they interact and how they differ from each other. Let's compare Twitter and Instagram. If you were to use hashtag globe microphone, in other words, the Tech Webcast emoji logo, you would find that on Instagram, no one's using that. And Instagram allows hashtag emojis. So simple hashtag globe microphone, you'll find that if you started using that hashtag in your post on Instagram about Tech Webcast, that you would be the only one using it, because I just did a search and no one's actually used it yet on Instagram. So that's a really good thing to have. Because my own one for Intuitive, my emoji logo, is the meridian, is the lightning bolt, or the high, they call it the high voltage sign, yep. And the globe with meridians, which is it's generally accepted and recognized as the symbol for World Wide Web. So that's why, yep, I've chosen it, because Intuitive is a web development business. Well, yeah, if you search for that one, there's quite a lot of people using that in posts on Instagram.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. So, yeah.
Daryl, any questions for Vincent?
Yeah, I was just thinking of the accessibility ramifications of emoticons, because, yep, it was just a coincidence that, too, this week Moodle were releasing, which is an education platform for, yep, ELO, they were releasing a new version and they were linking it with emoticons, like the ones that used in Facebook or that sort of stuff. And I was reading about it because it has implications for databases and various other things. And we were discussing it, actually, a group of e-learning trainers and I were discussing how emoticons could be used as an education tool. But as an accessibility option, if, you know, emoticons, you know, and they're obviously becoming more popular and they're being plonked into, you know, Twitter posts and various other things, how does that, as a website, how does that go with people with, say, visual issues, like visual disabilities, that may use things like screen readers and stuff to read across text, if text sort of disappears, yeah, and it's replaced by emoticons?
That's a really good question, and I'm so glad you asked it. I have done a lot of work with accessibility. I used to actually work as a professional IT person and trainer for people in an employment agency for people with disabilities, and I dealt with a lot of blind people and vision impaired people. And as a web developer, if you don't actually build for accessibility with this accessibility in mind, you can be fined. There's laws against it. So it's very, very important to build websites that are accessible to people with blind vision problems. So they, as you said, they have screen readers that will read them, and you can even see people on. I've got a Twitter list called Blind Periscopers. There was a surprisingly a large amount of people on Periscope who are blind, totally blind. You know, and you think, well, what's the point of being on Periscope if you're blind? Well, they have Siri, like on 10 speed, reading out all the comments to them, and you know, they just have a screen reader. So, you know, it was when I was doing some research for this service, I thought about that again, and I thought, yeah, okay, I know that the screen reader can read them, and even if you hover over with your mouse on an emoji, you'll see that up pops a description. Like if you hover over the high voltage one, it'll say high voltage. Well, that's also what gets read out to the screen, yep, readers. So the screen readers, as they are looking at the emojis, it'll say high voltage sign, globe with meridians.
So it's like the alt tag in exactly, web pages, yep.
Exactly. It's like, it's also known as a tooltip. When you hover over it, pops up description.
Ah, cool. Yep.
More information.
I was just going to say
this is actually one of the parts of the processes of whittling down your emojis. It's like, okay, I've chosen this emoji. Yeah, okay. So how does it sound? What if you were to get a screen reader to read it? Are you, you know, does high voltage globe with meridians describe your business? Or, you know, if you had three or four emojis, it's going to be quite a mouthful. And, you know, that it sort of has to be descriptive.
So can Siri read them emojis, Vincent?
Yeah, absolutely. That's, yeah.
Really? Oh, that's awesome. And tell us about Venturity. How long have you been running this website? Well, I've known you for a long time, and people may, new listeners to the podcast may not know who you are. You want to give a quick brief on what you do with Venturity?
Yeah, I should have introduced myself, shouldn't I? I run a web development and social media promotions business called Vintuitive, based on my name, Vin. Based in Adelaide, South Australia, but I have clients all over the world and some national clients as well. I've branched into social media in the last, five, 6 years ago. I established Vintuitive as solely as a web development business in 2010. So 7 years ago now. But yeah, as I say, I think social media is something I deal with a lot more these days than web development. Although I'm still got a foot in both, which is actually an advantage because a lot of web developers have no idea about social media. It's quite surprising. And a lot of social media gurus or professionals have little knowledge of web development technical aspects. Like, as we were just talking about, like accessibility features. So many people in social media just have no idea about that.
And you're also an Apple fan too, like your Apple products as well. You like that sort of stuff and your new Mac and stuff and that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, I'm right in the Apple ecosystem. But, you know, I've used Windows as a network administrator. I have to deal every day with a lot of Windows problems. Windows were the computers that we were using at the time. So, yeah, I know Windows as well as Mac, but I do prefer Mac. I think I crossed over, switched, as they say, 10 years ago, actually. It was 2006. Yeah. So just over.
That's good, mate. And how long this new thing you're launching, what's it called? What are you calling it? This new service?
I'm calling it Emoji Sets for Brands.
Emoji Sets for Brands, okay. Good stuff.
It's a, like I said before, it's a set of emojis, not just one or two, not just an emoji logo, but a whole set describe your services.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say something else about emojis in general, that a lot of people who are dismissing emojis will say, that's just dumbing down the language. English is better than emojis. You can't replace English with emojis because there's only a handful of them. Well, there's actually 52,000 emojis last count, I think. That's including all the variations of skin colors. So there's a lot of emojis out there. But I think that an important point that so many people are missing, and which I take from my background in ancient Egyptian and Japanese languages, is that they should really not be considered as a replacement. They should be a supplement. They should be like a complementary imagery that would help in addition to English. So, you know, using the ancient Egyptian or Japanese because they have the same structure. It's phonetic like English, so you would know how the word sounds, but then they tack the pictorial, the ideogram, on the end of it. So that's how I'm using hashtags. If you look at my Twitter stream, you'll see that I'm using the emoji at the end of a hashtag, and I automate this whole process. I've got, you know, if I typed hashtag car, the car emoji would automatically appear behind it, so that when I'm tweeting out hashtag car, you know, you'll see the car emoji behind it. And so having the visual element backing up the word before, in this case a hashtag, it just consolidates it. It reinforces it. It gives it, you know, instead of replacing it, actually adds to it. And I think that is how emojis are going to be used in the future. I don't think they're going to be replacing language. They're going to be supplementing and complementing it to add value to it. So I don't – and another thing is it's not like a literal thing necessarily. You don't have to have a car emoji behind the word car, you know, because that's just doubling up. You know, so ideally you have something that adds another dimension. It's kind of think of an example off the top of my head. No, I can't. I should have had one.
I think when you write iPhone, it shows the icon. It shows the iPhone emoji when you write iPhone.
Yeah, on Apple, and this is actually a bit of a an annoyance for me because some people find it helpful. They type iPhone and an iPhone pops up and they go, oh, I tap on that and that replaces the word. And it's like, oh, no. What I do is I type iPhone, then I type iPhone again and replace it. So I've got the word iPhone and an iPhone behind it. Or, you know, you might say food, and instead of having a picture of food, you might have a place of that you would dine at. Or I'm sort of lost for no perfect
like
example.
Like I'm having a hamburger for lunch and then it shows a hamburger symbol.
I don't think that's a great use of emojis. I think a better use of an emoji is to actually like add something additional to it. So,
yeah, true.
Let me give you a good example. But thank you. You know, I could write thank you, and I could put an emoji behind it with the hands together, like you may have seen the peace or the you know the prayer symbol. You know, it's adding a nice little. It adds a feeling to it that the word thanks doesn't have, if you know what I mean. So it's about adding feeling through visual representation, which words should do, but often they don't. And so if you can complement them, then it works well. And hashtags, you know, people don't like looking at hashtags. And they say a lot of people complain that when they read Twitter, it's like, oh, it's all hashtags. And it's just nonsense. So they get put off by it. But if you have images in there.
Is it sort of emoticons a bit like the, when you're saying emoticons earlier, and I remember back to my old international relay chat days, and it was because you had no video or no audio, basically, because in even the old dial-up days, you used emoticons to put the intent of your text comment, because quite often you might you know, we can have a joke here and everyone knows it's a joke because you know the inflection, the voice and all that. But on text, it's so easy. You can type something and you're typing it as a joke to someone and someone else reads it and takes offense at it because they don't know the implied intent, whereas the old emoticons, you know, the smiley face or the wink, it did have a serious purpose in those days in that it actually explained to people, well, look, I'm pulling your leg. You know, this is a joke. Don't take it seriously.
Exactly, and that's a really good example because it's adding something to the conversation that wasn't there in the words. It's saying, hey, I'm just, you know, this is a lighthearted comment. Don't take this as don't get upset by this as a critique of what you're doing.
Yeah, otherwise you've got flame wars. Comment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how does that go for logos? You know, Auden was talking about, you know, tech webcasts and having, you know, a logo and, oh, you know, and our but you've got to sort of distinguish emoticons or emojis from a logo, because a logo for your business might be printed out as well and on stationery and on various other things, and that can be different. You know, it's got to have certain properties that work on that may not work. An emoticon may not work that you want may not work for.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I just correct you? When you say emoticon, that's quite a different thing.
Oh, emoji. Sorry, I'm getting my emojis and emoticons, you know, mixed up. But I like an emoji that might look great on, say, for example, on the screen or even on a Facebook post or somewhere, may not. You know, it's representing your business. May not look good when it comes to, you know, even though, you know, the printed page, for example.
Absolutely. And this is one of the steps I was talking about, where once you've done the brainstorming of your emojis, there's a whole about 10 steps of things that you need to do to ensure that your emoji is suitable. And some of them are, well, one of them is exactly what you said, shrinking it down to a size that's going to fit inside of, you know, like, you know, 10, 12 point, like a font, like in an address bar.
Yep.
You know, when you go to a website and you see next to the address, on the left of the address, there's this little thing, it's called a favicon icon or favicon. It's when you would favorite the website, it would then appear as the little logo next to it. And that's a really similar sort of thing to the emojis, because it's like a lot of people will put their logo as the favicon for that, so that it appears in the address bar next to their web address. But they find that, oh, when my logo shrunk down to that size, it's only like 16 pixels high or something. and it can't even recognize it. It's nonsense.
Mm.
Well, that's very true for some emojis as well. And if you shrink down some emojis, they just can't understand what they are. Another problem is, you would have thought perhaps the spider web would be excellent emoji for a web developer, wouldn't it? Because it's web, right? So, well, no, because the web is, there's actually a lot of reasons why, but one is it's white, and on a white background, it just disappears. You can't even see it. So quite often, emojis are on a white background because it's where text goes, and text is often on a white background. So the web emoji is a really bad one, unfortunately. But other reasons are the connotations. What is it actually? What are the feelings you get when you see a web? It generally means something that's old, you know, that hasn't been used, or it's got a spider in it, which would bite you and hurt you. There's a lot of negative connotations with the spider web. So there's a lot of reasons why I didn't use it. And instead chose the globe with meridians, which is internationally recognized as the World Wide Web symbol.
Yep.
So that was a better fit.
Yep.
So there's an example, I guess, of where you wouldn't just literally translate, oh, web. I'd use the web one.
Yep.
No.
And that leads to the sort of what you said at the very beginning, the sort of cultural implications that you have to work through, that, you know, an emoticon might be fine, say, in Australia. You might say, oh, yeah, I understand the what that means and everything else, but it might have a completely different meaning, say, in Japan or in even the United States. So you've got to be careful that if you're branding, if that's part of your branding of your business, that you don't end up, offending half the planet because it's the emoticon you use as something you didn't even think of.
Yeah. And you know, one of those steps, one of those many steps is whittling down your emojis is to go to Urban Dictionary and see what it means in Urban Dictionary, because, you know, I was using the briefcase emoji because I thought, oh, that's excellent. Looks like, you know, that's small business. That represents small business really well. And then I found through doing some more research, deeper research on it, I found that the word briefcase in urban slang is it's a very derogatory term. It's sort of a little bit like, you know, a nerd, someone who's sort of trying too hard. I think it actually came from the TV show Inbetweeners. I don't know if anyone's seen that, but yeah, it's often used as a derogatory term. So, you know, it's just an example of how avoid it.
Good stuff, mate. Yep, awesome service. Check it out at vinturative.com. Jacob, go ahead. Because we need to wrap the podcast in about 2 minutes. Mate, go ahead. What do you want to say?
Yeah, what I was going to say, how could people use them? And do you think you could think of an emoji song thingy?
Emoji song.
That was a broad question. So I'll choose to answer it this way. Here's like the big bombshell, right? Just say you've chosen an emoji logo. It's like, okay, well, how can I use it? Well, you can put it as I pointed out to Brad. If you go and have a look at Tech Webcast Twitter account, you'll see that everywhere Tech Webcast username appears, so does the emoji logo, which is great because it's not just at the profile. You know, it's every single tweet that Tech Webcast tweets now has that emoji logo. So the branding is following every single tweet around. But, you know, your logo doesn't appear next to every tweet. It actually does in your avatar, sorry. But, you know, have a good look at it and you'll see there's places where your avatar or your profile image doesn't appear, but the emoji logo does. But guess what? You're probably thinking, or maybe you're not, but at some point you're probably going to wonder, can I register a domain name in emojis? And the answer is yes.
Oh,
and
wow.
And what's more is I've registered some already. So if you went to Lightning Bolt globewithmeridians.ws for website, WS, you will end up at my website.
Jeez. Also, right, that's awesome.
Also, get this one, Brad. If you go to Asian Globe or Australian Earth emoji and the microphone emoji.ws, you end up at Tech Webcast website.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. So if you put them two icons in the URL, that would take you to the website.
.ws after it, yeah.
.ws, okay. Wow, that's awesome.
It is, isn't it? Because yes, now you can get your website in two, it's like two characters long. That's shorter than a short URL.
Yeah, that's very good information, Vincent. Good to have you on the podcast, mate. And we never knew this before you came on. We don't know about this.
Yes. So that's another really great thing to have in these condensed little short bursts of social media posts that we're making, such as on Twitter when you're limited to 140 characters. If you can express your website in just a couple of characters like that and actually be linked to your website, that's great. So start using your tech webcast emoji logo with .ws on the end everywhere you can, and you'll get people going to your website.
That actually works. That's fantastic. Let's try this then. That's awesome, Matt.
Good on
you. That is awesome. Thank you. Darryl, what do you want to say before we wrap the podcast up?
Just to say, I know it's too late, like I've run in, but with the Unicode or the Uni Consortium, what about as this becomes more popular, the risk of big corporations trying to trademark emojis?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like for example, Brad uses the globe, which is a sort of a generic one. But if say a big company, say Microsoft, for example, said, "Well, we're a worldwide company, we want to trademark the globe," and all of a sudden, you lose that.
Yeah.
Emoji.
Yeah, absolutely. Trademarked. That's a whole nother area that I don't think has touched emojis yet, but it's definitely, it's in my notes, yeah. And the first thing I thought was, once these are able to be trademarked, I can guarantee you Facebook is going to trademark those five emojis that they use for, you know, how they added to the thumbs up. Yep. Now they have five reactions. I bet they're going to trademark those as like, you know, the Facebook emojis. But yeah, this is why you should get in and register your domain, you know, establish your set now and register it. Once you've registered, even Coke can't steal it from you because you've registered it as a domain name. It's yours.
Yep.
But by law, they can't take it from you. But you could sell it to them for an awful lot of money. But, you know, this is the other thing. This is why you can't register a single emoji .ws because they're all taken. We just had a new update. This is like, you know, this is back in the old days of domain names when there was this mad rush for people to go, what if I register website.com? Hey, no one's taken that. And, you know, there was like art.com and, you know, all these really short ones. People just snapped them up like that in the early days. Well, now people are doing this with emojis. So you get it getting quick and establish your emoji logo and then register it because the moment a new set of emojis comes out, and Apple's just announced a new batch, once they come out, within an hour, they're all gone. Everyone's registered individual emojis. It's already a well-known established thing that people are registering these and grabbing them as soon as they can.
All right. Good stuff, Vincent. Good information. Where can people find out more about what you do, Vincent?
Well, they can always go to High Voltage Emoji globemeridian.ws or they could just go to vintuitive.com.
Yep.
But also, if I could just give a plug, I've also done this for Australia Great. And Australia Great, as you probably know, is the koala with the thumbs up.
Yes.
And so I've registered koala with the thumbs up .ws, and anytime you type that into a search engine, you'll get Australia Great because I've been using that and established that ages ago. So there's such prolific use of the koala with the thumbs up that you'll always end up at Australia Great whenever you use it, search for it.
All right, good stuff, Vincent. Let's go to Audrey real quick. She's got one last question before we wrap the podcast up.
Yes, I do. I've just been playing around with some possible emojis for co-hosts on my Twitter, on the @Aldwin, and I realise that when I go to put an emoji in from Twitter, it only gives me about 20 or 30 options or so. There's not a hell of a lot of options. I really want to be able to custom make, for example, for my one, to have someone with a big smile and curly hair like my Media Queen logo, you know, something similar to that. So can you custom make these emojis, or do you have to go with what the universal standards are?
Well, that's a really good question, because there's two answers. One is, no, you have to go with what they've got, and that's the whole point of the Unicode Consortium, is that, you know, they're like the gatekeepers, and they, once they allow the emojis in, that's what the emoji you have to go with. But they say their ultimate goal is for the user to be able to stylize and to put, you know, curly hair on the emoji, the smiley face emoji. So at some point, I don't know how they're going to achieve it technically, but it may be possible. That's the ultimate goal. But you say there's only a handful of emojis. I meant to say there is a couple of tools that I wanted to give out. One is emojipedia.org, I think. That is a really easy way and a quick way of just searching for emojis that you want to use. And it'll give you the meaning. It's like a dictionary for all of the meanings of the emojis.
And how do we spell that, Emojipedia? That's a tricky question. Oh, here we go. P-E-D-I-A. Okay, emoji just says E-M-O-J-I. Okay, great.
Yeah, another one is Emoji Dictionary. If you have a look for that one, you'll find
there's
another one. But it's Jeremy Berg, the Aussie guy that established Emojipedia about 4 years ago.
Oh, very cool.
So, all right. Yeah, I use it all the time. It's a really good one because, you know, you might want to know, how does a green heart differ from a blue heart? And what's, is that the same as a red heart?
You know, interesting.
Mm. All right, Vincent, good to have you on the podcast, mate. Come back on any time. Where can they get, we'll give you Twitter out and stuff and so people can
follow you. Okay, yeah. Come and follow me on Twitter at Vintuitive because I'll tweet out a bunch of these things. I'll tweet out some free third-party tools like Emojipedia and others. So people can come and get them. And there's another one I can't remember. Emoji Life, it's called. Again, I'll tweet it out. It shows you, it analyzes your tweets and it says, right, here's what emojis you've been using. And, you know, it's quite detailed and got a lot of info on your most recent tweets and when the emojis you've used.
Awesome, mate. You're a legend. Come back on any time, Vincent. You're a very knowledgeable person, mate, and great information.
Hope people appreciate what you thanks for having about. Me.
Good to have you on, mate. Thank you for being on. Let's go to Daryl Hunt. Good week in the hold of you, mate.
Get a hold of me on the Twitters at LearnScape. I don't know what the emoji would be for LearnScape, but it's got me thinking now. Or on Google Plus. I'm still on Google Plus at plus Daryl Hunt.
Good stuff. Jacob, what about you?
You can follow me at jazzbot326691z.
All right, give me on Twitter at Brad Alden at Tech Webcast. Alden, what about you? You're from Turkey.
You get me at Alden. Yes, I am in Turkey right now, and I'm near a place called Arses, actually between Arses and Iskenderun. So you will find me personally here overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. However, online at Alden, you'll find me on Facebook, Alden All Today. You'll find me on LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram, Snapchat, thanks to you, Brad, and YouTube. Look up Alden All Today on YouTube. Basically, just Google my name. I'm the only one out there with that name. And also on my website, aaxpose.com, based on the Gold Coast normally. However, do a lot of traveling, and I always keep you guys updated with where I am in the world. And I must say I love this laptop lifestyle that's possible now with technology. So it is fantastic. My voice was a bit croaky last week as I just came off the plane with all the air conditioning. So I've been recovering over the last week and enjoying the ocean and the hot air here. It is a summer over here in Turkey right now, and there's parts of Turkey that are just absolutely stunning. So I recommend get over here one day and check it out for yourself. So all that's right. Me. What about Tech Webcast? How can people connect with Tech Webcast?
They can like us on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, Instagram. I'm on Instagram, whatever. I don't really give my Instagram out that much, but just whatever, Twitter or Facebook for Tech Webcast. Jacob, what about you? Want to mention the earpods real quick? They charge fast. Vincent, are you into the earpods? What's your view on the earpods real quick?
I don't think my ears are the right shape for them. I struggle with the ones with the wires on, so I'm not going to, yeah.
Geez, I never used the ones with the wire, but these ones I've got here, they work fantastic. They charge really, really fast, and the sound of it just sounds awesome.
Excellent. No, it's
just Wi-Fi, you know, just wireless, and yeah, it's just awesome.
I just wish they were a different shape. I have to hold these ones and I push them in with my ears, really, and I twist them and they fall out. And it's like, oh, I must have weird ears.
Okay. All right. Jacob, what about you?
The AirPods? I love them. Because
they charge really quick, don't they, mate?
Yeah, you've been sending a lot of pictures out with them. It's like, I was sitting there on FaceTime and the thing charged in complete. In 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, probably about 10, 15 minutes. Yeah, they charge really quick. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the range is good. You walked outside and the thing still worked.
Still works, that's it. Darryl, what do you want to say before we wrap the podcast up? You haven't really...
I'm not an earbud user, really. I'm a bit like... I just think they fall out. Well, I haven't used the ones that you've got, but other earbuds I've had over the years, and they just fall out of my ears all the time, and they drive me mad. So I tend to use the big, well, I'm sort of doing the podcast, and I tend to use the big, you know, over the ear ones, because I can just put them on. But they don't suit when you're sort of taking your phone out and listening to a bit of music outside or something. You don't want to be wearing something that you've come out of a radio station on. I just found even the old Apple, you know, the ones that come with an iPhone, and you know that Apple provides, like, it kept falling out of my ears all the time.
And Vincent, they've got new technology right in these new earpods, right?
A huge amount of technology in them. Yeah, they've got like a CPU in them and several microphones, noise cancelling things.
Yeah, you can use Siri and stuff, and that sort of thing is really awesome. Audwin's got another question. Go ahead, Audwin, before we wrap up.
Very quick. I was just stalking you on Twitter on Vintuitive, and I noticed you've got the high voltage sign and the globe with meridians. How do you put that after your Twitter profile name or after your name? How do you get those in there?
Great question. It's really, really simple. You just hit edit profile and you can just type them in.
You actually type to get the pictures, you just type the hashtag or?
You use Emojipedia, or are you on a Mac?
I'm on a keyboard. Yeah.
Okay, well, on the Mac, there's a keyboard shortcut. It's control command spacebar, and that'll bring up your emojis. And you'll see hundreds of emojis, and you can just choose whichever one. And that's, you just double click on it, and it'll enter it into wherever your cursor is. In this case, it's in your username. So once you hit edit, put your cursor in, hit the emojis.
Control command spacebar after.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Awesome. Well, I'll do that right now, and then you'll see some after my name soon. Very cool. Thanks for that, Vince.
And what about for Jacob? What icons can Jacob use, Vincent, before we go? Maybe just.
Oh, gee, I don't know. That's, I have no idea. Depends what he wants to represent him as.
What about Darryl? What can Darryl use?
I gave Darryl a couple there on. Did you get them?
I'll have to have a look. Oh, you mean in the Skype chat?
In the Skype chat.
Yeah, I'll have to scroll up.
I wonder what I could use. And, well, there's the mortarboard. Hat.
Thing, oh, you know, yes. The education.
Graduation.
One.
And then there's the cityscape. There's one that's
a cityscape
relevant, maybe. So I put those together and thought, landscape.
Yeah. Oh, landscape. That's awesome. I'll have a look at that one. Thank you very much.
All right. Vincent, thanks for being on the podcast, mate. You're a legend. Come back on any time if you want to mention anything else, talk about anything else you want.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed the time being on here, mate.
And everyone, get your Emoji Mojo on.
Emoji Mojo.
That's it. Jacob and Darryl, last words. Go ahead. What do you want to say, you guys?
Oh, God. Get your Emoji Mojo on.
That's it. Jacob, how about you?
Oh, my.
Did Audwin say your Twitter?
My Twitter's at Aldwin's, my Twitter, and I'm now playing around with emojis for the end of my Twitter name. So thanks for that.
That part in, because we cut that part off. So yeah. Do we say our Twitter?
My Twitter is at Aldwin.
All right, awesome. Jake, go ahead. What do you want to say?
Nothing, mate.
Thank you for listening to Tech Webcast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Twitter. at Tech Webcast. We'll catch you next time. Cheers. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Minus 10. Tech Webcast. 9. Tech Webcast. 8. Tech Webcast. 7. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. 6. Tech Webcast. 5. Tech Webcast. 4. Tech Webcast. 3. Tech Webcast. 2. Tech Webcast. 1. Tech Webcast. 0. Ignition. Tech Webcast. Lift off. A beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely. Roll program initiated.